RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And today we are talking about a new Universal Monsters movie. We're talking about Lee Whannell's The Invisible Man.
A newer.
Okay, there's been a lot of Invisible Man's movies. And we are talking about the most recent Invisible Man movie.
No, I was just talking about monster remakes or reimaginings. We're still in it, but... Also, this came out on the cusp of the pandemic, which was 6 years ago.
This was the last, this is probably true for a lot of people, this was the last movie that we saw in the theater before they all shut down.
Yeah, and we watched it, we were like, should we be here? No. I don't know if no, we should be here.
No, at that time it was fine. I mean, maybe you...
You were.
At that time I was fine. You were stressing out from like November.
I was like, it's coming, John. You're like, nah.
It's funny because I don't want to bring this up. Who fucking cares? Everybody's talked about COVID to death. We're talking about The Invisible Man. Let's just focus on that. The first of two Universal Monster movies that Lee Whannell has done. He's now 2-for-2, tied with Guillermo del Toro. And you go ahead and tell me which two you think are better.
Wait, what is Guillermo? Oh, yeah. I guess it's kind of a creature movie.
Totally a creature movie.
It's a creature, not a lagoon movie.
There you go. So this movie...
So we still need someone to adapt The Lagoon.
Would love it. I'm here for it. There's not enough Lagoon core content. But yeah, this movie totally fits with the secret theme this season. If you think you know what it is, feel free to submit your guess already. There we'll talk about it again at the end of the episode, but there's totally a link in the episode description. You can win yourself a prize pack. The point is... This, I think, is my first time revisiting this movie since the theater.
Yeah, time doesn't exist anymore since COVID. I'm sure everyone agrees with that. So the fact that it's been 6 years...
Are you going to say that like a ghost every time?
It's been six years! I'm the Jacob Marley of COVID.
Yeah.
Heed this warning, time doesn't matter. Yeah, it feels like 6 to 2. That's what it feels like. I didn't forget anything about this movie, did you?
No.
Yeah. Some of you are going to be like, why did they choose this movie? And we are going to be like, I don't know.
Look, like I said, it fits the secret theme, and that's why we're here. You can't always talk about movies that are A-plus all-stars in your eyes.
Yeah. You know, this is sad, though. This is very unfortunate because I'm just going to come out there and say it. The Invisible Man is your favorite monster.
fucking love The Invisible Man. I like the B-side Invisible Man movies from the 1930s. Did you know that he fights Nazis? It's crazy. The Invisible Woman, she like fights the patriarchy. It's like bosses.
Honestly, I think they're setting up some Invisible Woman in this one.
They were talking about doing an Invisible Woman movie after this came out.
It has
never materialized.
It has some like superhero setup vibes at the end.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of like, oh, this is just a prequel. We're getting to the real invisible stuff later.
And if there was a second monster that was tied for first place with me, it's the Wolfman. So I've gotten both of them. And I don't know how I feel about them. I have such a love for those original Universal classic monster movies that it's hard to not just compare it.
Yeah.
When watching these ones. Yeah.
And you also, too, you want to give storytellers and filmmakers a chance to play in the space, especially because it's been 100 years. These stories are classics. They have been done and reinterpreted. We're not just inspiring sequels and remakes of a single story. Like, they spawned subgenres, like werewolves, the Wolfman, and ghosts, I guess.
What?
The Invisible Man?
What?
Vampires, Dracula, you know, like all of the rules.
Sure.
And Frankenstein stuff.
Yep.
Invisible Man doesn't really have a lot. I guess Hollow Man. It's all just bad guys who find the opportunity to be more devious.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or they're good and are turned evil, which is one of the things I love about the original Invisible Man. Like, he's totally a good guy. He's got great intentions. But, like, something about it, it turns him into a monster. It's one of my favorite things. One of my favorite evolutions of a villain in a single story. It's fucking incredible. What Lee Whannell's doing with these new Universal Monster movies, I think, is a good choice for the 2020s, okay? Like, if we're trying to say, like, these classic monster stories from the 30s and 40s are the Universal classic monsters, they have taken on a completely different meaning when you say that. Like, yes, they were made by the film studio, Universal Pictures. But when we say Universal Monsters, I think a lot of people see it as saying there is something universal about these villains and what they say about us and society and how we treat people and stuff. And I think Lee Whannell is thinking about that when he's coming to adapting these stories,
like,
for
what
the modern world.
What is the atom bomb of this era's Universal Monsters kind of thing?
Maybe. I just think, like, what is a universal evil in the 21st century?
Mm.
And a lot of it is...
Capitalism.
Abusive people. Sure, capitalism. But, like, I don't know. Like, the Invisible Man did not have to be an abusive husband, and the Wolfman didn't have to be fraught with, like, abusive dad stuff. But that is the stew that he's cooking these new stories in.
I guess my issue, and it's kind of in the same vein that you're saying, is that I'm so sick of downer horror. And this is like coming in right at the edge of the peak of downer horror. And I think I was just, I'm just like over it. I think we are starting to climb out of that really depressant hole. Horror went in a depressant stage.
I don't know if it's left yet.
I'm hoping we're climbing out. I'm seeing some fun things.
Yeah.
And I'm really seeing this as like a time capsule of like when horror was just like really emo.
Yes.
And really leaning on trauma, maybe to the effect of a crutch.
Trauma has been a pretty easy crutch for horror to lean on for the last 10 years, yeah.
And this is just that. And maybe... like, it's a great idea, I think, in a pitch room about, like, okay, what could Invisible Man be in the modern world? Like, should it be tech? Should it be this? Should it be that? And yeah, somebody, you know, wielding advanced tech that isn't in the world yet is plausible, because we're seeing stuff being wielded before we understand it already. But I don't know if in practice it's the right choice for the Invisible Man. Because one of my favorite things about the Invisible Man, speaking like as a monster, is that Invisible Man is one of the only monsters that is a monster by choice. Kind of like has agency in becoming this monster.
Okay, I'll agree with that. I think that he becomes the monster by accident.
Okay, but
he becomes invisible by
choice. He gets high on his own supply, though.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could argue
he gets hooked on his own supply.
Dracula is a little cool about being Dracula, but he's getting tired of it. He's getting lonely. Like, he's a sad soul, if you think about him. And most of the monsters, they're very tragic and sad.
Yes.
The big thing about the monsters is that you discover in watching these monster movies that, you know, you came here rooting to see, you know, like a flat top burning down a windmill, but it's the other way around. It's the humans burning down the windmill, and the monster is the sad one.
Yes. Yeah, and it's usually, like, they didn't ask for this. This was something that was thrust upon them. Like, Frankenstein didn't ask to be born. The Wolfman didn't ask to be bitten by a werewolf, but there's just something tragic about it. Yeah. That is what makes the Invisible Man so great, is that he is the person who took the potion to become invisible. Mm-hmm. He just didn't realize that, one, he couldn't go back, and two, that it would turn him fucking mad.
Yeah. And also, the Invisible Man's vibe is a lot more light and, I don't want to use the word whimsical because it doesn't feel right, but it's like...
He has the highest
impish,
body count, Kim.
Impish.
Sure, okay.
Like, there's a deviancy, there's a jest about his character, and this is all dour. This interpretation is so, so dark and sad and depressing and unfun.
Yeah, you know, the original Invisible Man is very focused on, like, I need to turn back. Like, I have proven that this is possible, it can be done, but I need to go back. And I need to go back because this only half of the experiment is done. But think of all the good that can come of this. Like, what an incredible scientific advancement.
But first, some evils.
The new one is kind of the opposite, where it's like, ooh, what an incredible advancement. I must use this for evil. Like, it's immediately like, ooh, think of the implications. For abusing my wife more.
Yeah, it's almost like he invented the suit solely for the purpose of gaslighting.
Yeah, right? Like, he is maybe the only person who could invent a suit like that.
The password to access one of the suits is the day they met. He was brooding down there thinking of all the things he could do if she ever left him.
I guess. If he was a nice husband and the password was the day they met, you'd be like, aw. Like,
who does he work for?
I don't know.
Does no one know what he's up to?
It doesn't
seem... Does no one know he's building a suit? Who is funding this man?
I don't know. He's just big in optics, man. Like, that's what they said.
I want to say the optics thing because part of me was really hoping for at least 20 minutes where she thought he was a ghost, like haunting her.
I think there is a
doubt. No, there is not. She goes to his brother and she's like, he's alive. He's into optics. He's invisible.
Okay.
He didn't die. And then skipped over ghosts.
His obituary does say like, optics groundbreaker found dead.
Working on questionable suits of an invisible nature.
With the exception of like one or two key things, you could almost watch it thinking that it is a trauma haunting. Like, she is just dealing with the lingering after effects of leaving somebody who psychologically has his hooks in her.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, it also has scenes where like a knife gets stolen from a table and shit. I also wish it was more supernatural. I mean, I wish it was more supernatural,
period. I didn't even need it to be more supernatural. I just wanted it to be a ghost for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And she can see him wherever he is. You know what I mean? Like, she's always staring where he would be standing. Like, she's just like, he's in the room. He's in the room.
Yeah.
He's in the room. He's in that chair.
It's almost a shame that it's called The Invisible Man. I think if they had have come up with a different title... And marketed it a little differently. Like, if they said this was...
Hollow Man.
Jesus. It's not so much that he's invisible. It's as though his atoms are hollow. I don't know. It's a weird title for a movie. But it's up there in the Invisible Man canon. It's crazy. But...
What other synonyms for invisible do we have?
There's not a lot.
Unapparent man.
I've talked about it before, but like Chuck Klosterman wrote a book basically using the exact same tech that's in this movie, like years before this movie came out, and he called it The Visible Man.
Whoa.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Why is it visible, though?
I think because this guy who has the suit is using it to spy on people. He's just, in the book, this character is obsessed with seeing people in their natural state because it's this philosophical argument.
Well, see, that's good. That's fun, interesting stuff. Like, the Invisible Man is a voyeur.
Yeah.
Peeping Tom?
Well, I mean, yeah, he is in this movie,
something more
too,
sophisticated.
Right? So, but that book is fun because like one of my favorite things about it is like, you'd be surprised how many people within less than 20 minutes of coming home from work, if there's nobody at home, are just... They're in their pajamas. immediately in front of their computers masturbating is what he says in the book. But yeah, not a lot of synonyms if you're trying to come up with something different. If you had if they had marketed this as a remake of the movie Gaslight, and then you sort of like quietly found out from people who saw it on opening weekend that it's actually an Invisible Man movie, that'd be different.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Because It's kind of like a strength and a weakness of the movie that it's called The Invisible Man and you're expecting an invisible man. It's how they get away with some really sort of unsettling moments where the camera just like turns away from the action down an empty hallway and you don't see anything, but you know, you're like, there's somebody there. There's gotta be somebody there. I just don't see
it. I think you're particularly talking about the opening sequence where she's getting away from him.
Yeah.
And he's still a visible man at this point.
Absolutely.
But the camera does, it pivots down a long, dark, empty hall. And I find the scariest moment of the movie for me was once she cleared the fence and she's running through the forest and she's waiting on the road for her sister to pick her up. And she's like looking back at the woods. And it just makes you think, like, if somebody was just standing there in the woods and you couldn't see them, like, that's terrifying. But that's fully just leaning on us knowing the premise of the film.
Exactly.
He's not invisible yet. I mean, he could have put the suit on and run out, but there'd be no...
That'd be so weird.
There'd be no point. He's just delaying minutes that he can, like, go yell at her.
Exactly. It makes some scenes very tense. But then it also makes about 45 minutes of the movie, like, okay, come on, let's fucking, we know it's an invisible man. Just let's get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's taunting her and he's taunting us, the audience, with action.
So much, you know? Like, by the third act of the movie, she's been framed for murder and we're in a psychiatric facility. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a better setting for the movie. You know, do that earlier in the movie. Now we've got a...
I disagree.
You think so?
I disagree.
Don't you think it would be harder to try and explain to people that there's a guy watching me that you can't see who's trying to kill people to make it look like I'm a murderer?
I think the idea of him just co-living in her room while she's detained is cool.
Sleeping in the fucking attic, but like, right above her bed.
I don't need any more minutes of it. Honestly, my opinion is that this movie starts way too late in their story. I think we should.
Kim wants more boring stuff at the beginning.
Well, we don't know him at all. And we're just supposed to assume he's like villain level.
Yeah.
There's no arc to the invisible character. Like, we don't know if he's mad with power. We are assuming, just based on what Cecilia says, he's always like this. This is not a surprise to her. Like, him being invisible is old hat by the time she's talking to the cops about it.
I know. He's basically a ghost to everybody around her who doesn't know there's a suit. And she's just like, oh, he's up to his old tricks.
Yeah, I feel like we started at like an hour and a half into sleeping with the enemy. You know what I mean? And,
okay.
And when he's chasing her, I don't know him. So I'm not terrified of him.
Yeah, I think we're just supposed to immediately...
I don't know him.
We're just supposed to immediately assume, like, these are the warning signs of a bad guy based on just how scared she is of leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know.
I mean, her setup is elaborate. You're like, okay, this guy's not great. Nice house, though. Not great guy.
I know, and she's like, her moment where she's like, I can't take you, Zeus, the dog. There's a dog that's like, take me with you. And she's like, I can't scale the fence with you in my arms, but I will take this collar off, and then you can run free. I think she's like, I don't know what she says.
I don't know.
I think in her mind that he'll just run off and go into the wild and join a new pack of dogs.
Be free!
But there's like a 10-foot fence around the property. Like, he's not getting over that fence. Also, I mean, like, it does play into what you're saying a little bit, but, like, either her sister is just so oblivious to what's happening.
I just don't even know what he looks like until the final scene of the movie. I get it, we're watching an invisible
guy. You're not supposed
to,
yeah.
But, like, I don't even, like, I can't even pass judgment on this dude because I can't see him.
Yeah.
Even just a scene of them before she drugs him. Like, if we had started with, like, the last dinner before she left,
where she
drugs him, and then we end on the last dinner they have when she stabs him.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
That's a good bookend.
And we would have at least seen what their relationship looked like and, like, the power and control dynamic of what she's in. Because, I don't know, like, her just telling James and her sister, like, oh, you know, first he controlled what my hair looked like, and then he controlled my thoughts, and then they were like, did he hit you? And she was like, yeah, among other things. You're like, what were the other things? How bad was he?
I get it. Like, if we,
like,
knew
did you
him.
Have to eat the dog's poo? Like, share. I want to see more of who people are before they go invisible is all I get.
Before they go invisible. I, more than anything, was just bummed at that he's not really invisible to me. Like, okay, I guess, yeah. To me. That's not my invisible man.
Why did that feel like the title of a song in the Invisible Man opera. You're not invisible to me.
Okay, well, the point is, like, he's got a suit. I don't love the idea of being
I
able
remember
to turn it
when
on
we
and
saw
off.
This. You're like, it's a suit!
Yeah, it really, I think I knew it was a suit at the beginning of the movie, too, because when she's escaping, there's, like, his whole laboratory in the basement, and then there's a walled-off room.
Well, and there's a wall of, like, a bunch of black suit guys.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of suits strung up, and then there's another suit that's in a locked room.
And it's invisible.
And it's invisible. There's a whole bunch of clamps that are holding it up, and you can't see it, so either there's nothing there, or it's just invisible.
It's just Hollow Man.
It's one of those things where
this is what I'm saying. It's great in theory. This is great in the pitch room.
Yeah.
Like, what would an Invisible Man story be? And like everybody's like, oh yeah, that's great. But once you start going through the story, you're like, is this Invisible Man?
It's more of an interpretation on the word monster than it is on the interpretation of the word invisible, right? Because you're just like, oh, but because what I was going to say a second ago is that like, if he can be visible, if he can just take a
suit
off.
You just don't like the fact that he can, like, sleep looking like a dude.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, he can check into hotels and stuff.
Yeah, no, I hate that. I don't think he should be able to be seen. I think that's what makes him a monster. Like, in order to be a monster, you have to be something inhuman. And you know, like, you're in the pitch room, and you're like, well, I mean, I think by saying, like, abusive guys are monsters, and they're kind
of
inhuman.
Yeah, but that's that trauma shit I'm not into.
I know.
Get out of my genre.
This is why we don't like the movie, necessarily. Like, I think it's well made. I think the Invisible Man sequences are good. It's just, like, the pieces
You're just
don't
like,
fit.
He needs to be a monster character. Capital M.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't be able to go back because otherwise you're just a regular ass villain. You're not a monster.
That would be even creepier if he's trying to like gaslight her into a corner so she's all alone. His ultimate goal is to make her be with him and he's invisible the entire time. So she's just alone in his like creepy angular McMansion.
Oh, so he chooses to never leave the suit.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, you're saying in my version.
In the Capital M monster version where he can't change back.
Hell yeah.
That would be really fucking cool. That's dark as fuck because he's basically backing her into a corner where she's like forever alone.
Yeah.
Because he'll never be with her.
Oh, man, this is great. See, this is good.
But instead, I don't even know what his goal kind of is because he's taunting her and he's like, you know, hiding in the corner and stuff and like taking photos of her while she's sleeping. But I don't think
up with that?
I don't know. I don't think it's until they both find out that she's pregnant that he's like, oh, maybe I should stop framing her for murders.
Yeah. I have no idea what his real goal is. It just seems
angry revenge.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, just to crush her.
Yeah, I just think he's doing that like not conscious abusive boyfriend thing where he's just in rage mode, just like, I'm going to make your life hell.
Yeah, well, he knows that he's going to frame her for murder maybe not day one, but...
Because the knife upstairs,
yeah, he steals that knife.
You're like, why is that in a Ziploc bag?
Yeah, he steals it right before he burns the eggs, I think to distract her from the fact that the knife is missing from the counter.
Hmm.
And obviously, he's got her fingerprints all over it, but that's very early in the movie. And whether or not he knows exactly when he's going to use it, probably not. He's just holding on to it so he has it when he needs it.
Mm-hmm. To frame her for le murder.
To frame her for le murder, which is a good scene in the movie, actually.
Favorite scene in the movie. Well, yeah. It's really good.
But yeah, just a knife hanging in the air, and you're like, what the fuck is that? And then bam, slits her sister's throat.
And it's quite a slow, haunting, quiet movie. And knives appearing in the air is, like, pretty scary, and it's very sudden.
Yeah.
It's a completely different tone shift.
Yeah, because, once we get to that moment, like, shit starts popping off, and, like, it's fast, and it's lots of fighting. It's got that sort of, like, fixed camera thing that Lee Whannell did for Upgrade, which is a fucking
love. Oh, like, when she passes out, she's like, duh, duh.
Yeah, where it's almost like the camera's strapped to her. But even when he's fighting the security guards in
the camera
facility,
is following them a bit.
Pretty fucking rad. It looks great.
The weirdest thing about that scene for me is that all of the security guards know her by her first name.
Everybody,
they're all like, Cecilia, stay down.
You gotta be a bit of a celebrity if you just slit your sister's throat. It's like, widow of a billionaire kills sister in Japanese restaurant in front of everybody. You're like, of course you're gonna know her first name, right?
I feel like they probably have a lot of patience. I don't know. They were getting guards from the back of the facility. Like, they were coming two at a time.
That's true. At this, we've gone through maybe 30 guards.
Yeah.
Even
and
the
even
last one.
The last guards are like, Cecilia, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't do anything stupid, Cecilia. It's like, man, you just
You're the
saw.
Door guy. You haven't seen me. I'm not allowed near the door.
Well, but even beyond that, it just drove me crazy that people are witnessing an invisible person just, like, blinking in and out of existence. Like,
yeah, but they die immediately.
Most of them don't die. They get, like, hit in the head and then they're knocked out. There's like
he kind of shoots them all.
He shoots one guy. He shoots one guy in the kneecap and then hits him in the head and that guy passes out. There's another guy who gets shot, for sure, but he doesn't really kill a lot of people.
I think he kills them all, John.
Okay, fine.
I think if you rewatch that sequence, you'll see that he does the taunting when he's not in an appropriate place for the murder to be pinned on someone else. Because he has the guards accidentally shooting each other in moments.
He is doing shit in here like there isn't a shit ton of security cameras in this facility. Like, they caught everything on camera.
Those knees were breaking from nowhere.
The newspapers tomorrow are going to be like,
ghost kills security. Why is no one going to ghost first?
But even the guy in the parking lot.
Surprise, surprise. Mental hospital is haunted.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, real House on Haunted Hill shit. Even the last guy in the parking lot is like, don't do anything stupid, Celia. He has just been like punched by a guy who was there a second ago and then disappeared. Like, he's glitching in and out of existence. Like, you live in a simulation.
Because she stabbed him with a pin.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
And he got his suit wet? I don't know.
How stinky is the suit, right?
It's probably quite stinky.
The suit has... Like,
do you think he's going... He's taking it off, becoming visible, and going to the laundromat? Can you launder a suit of cameras?
Probably not. I mean, you're probably just wet wiping the inside of it.
A little Febreze.
Yeah. Like, no way is he not getting discovered because somebody's sitting in their room. Like, okay, we've got plenty of scenes in the movie where Elizabeth Moss is like, I feel like... there's somebody standing behind me. But in reality, it's just your nose being like, the fuck is that stink? Like, it smells like a foot. Like a 6 foot like, foot.
You're a dude at the mental hospital and you're going to the bathroom, you're standing at the urinal, and then beside you, just like a stream of urine just comes from nowhere.
I gotta tell you, that's all I thought about the whole movie. I'm like, so he just never drinks water,
Nothing about
right?
him is invisible. Like, you can have fun theories about an invisible man. You're like, So the food just disappears in his mouth? Or where does food become invisible? Visible in this story.
Man, they addressed that in the 1930s. They knew what we'd want to know.
Like, what color is the poo?
I think that's what he said. Half the reason he wears clothes is because the food's not invisible. You just see it getting digested in front of you.
I love that.
So funny.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
But yeah, so he doesn't have any invisible organs. They're just normal organs.
Yeah, he's just a guy in a suit with cameras on it.
So there's another question that was kind of bugging me the entire movie, because you kind of know that the suit is going to be cameras because he's big on optics.
Of course.
So that's the tech I'm assuming it is. It's like cameras in front are relaying the information from behind and cameras from behind are relaying the information from the front.
Bingo.
Kind of like if you were going to do a Death Becomes Her costume.
Uh-huh. That's all I think about.
Where you have an iPhone in the front and an iPhone in the back and you're like, look, I was shot in the stomach.
Yes.
Like, you drank the potion.
Uh-huh.
So if you weren't to edit the shadow of someone who had their stomach blown out but was doing an effect with iPhones, that shadow would be whole. There wouldn't be a hole in the shadow. You seeing what I'm saying? Because...
you're saying he should still cast a shadow.
I think so.
I mean, maybe.
Wouldn't he?
Probably. It is a movie. I mean, I am a guy who thinks, who's totally fine believing that King Kong and Godzilla are now the same height. I don't care.
Are they not?
Okay, here's the easiest thing to remember. Godzilla stomps on buildings. King Kong climbed the Empire State Building.
Yeah, but that's a big building.
They don't have buildings like that in Japan. Oh. Great question, though.
I feel like that suit would cast a shadow. Because it's just a bunch of iPhones.
Yeah, it should still cast a shadow. You're absolutely right. Because no matter what.
And wouldn't it like glint in the sun and stuff? Because like rain hits it.
I think you can probably edit for that or adjust for that. Yeah, rain is a problem for certain.
Which is my issue with wherever they set this. Because we know it's Christmas time because there's an undecorated Christmas tree in the corner of that movie the entire time. No snow.
It's San Francisco.
I'm just saying, Invisible Man in snow is such a cool thing.
Uh-huh. You know what's funny is I do remember a couple years before this movie even got announced, Lee Whannell, it's just like every Christmas, everybody is just reposting this movie that they're watching and that movie that they're watching. Like, we've all got like a list of movies that, whether they're good or not, get put on repeat come December. And I remember Lee Whannell tweeting, like, I don't know what my next movie's gonna be, but I can fucking assure you it's gonna be set at Christmas. And then The Invisible Man came out and there's a scene set at Christmas and I was like, fucking guy did it. Like, if you really wanted to, if you're a psychopath like me, you'll put it on a Christmas list and you'll consider watching it every December.
It is a Christmas movie, but it doesn't have the spirit of Christmas.
It doesn't have
the spirit. I mean, we do get some cold breath. They are like, it's cold.
We give gifts.
There is gifting.
And there's murder.
There's a
classic
Christmas. There's a lot of ladders in it.
It's almost a ghost story, which almost makes it perfect for Christmas.
It's not a ghost story.
I said it's almost a ghost
story. It's not a ghost story. All we needed was somebody to assume ghost maybe for 5 logical minutes.
Nope.
Would you not go to ghost first, or would you be like, it's tech, advanced tech?
Yeah, I mean, ghost makes the most sense. And there's even lines.
Especially, he's vengeful alive. Of course he's going to be vengeful dead.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to be a ghost. He's got unfinished business. He wants to kill his girlfriend.
Even her buddy James, who she's living with, is just like, don't let this motherfucker haunt you. It's like, clearly perfect dialogue if we're going to explore the idea of ghost.
Not ghost. Invisible Man could be a ghost. I would be fine with him being a ghost.
If he was invisible.
And doing all this shit and a ghost, it's not bad. That's still capital M.
So wait, he is the Invisible Man but dies and comes back as a ghost.
No, he's a ghost the whole time.
Ghost the whole time.
He dies, and because he's so vengeful, he comes back. So we're just saying Invisible Man is just a synonym for ghost.
Okay.
And he's angry.
I guess that is the only defining line, right? The difference between a ghost and an invisible man is whether or not they're alive.
Yeah. But your requirements for invisible man, mine is like the heart doesn't have to be beating. It's fine. Yours is that the heart must be beating and be invisible.
Absolutely.
It can't be covered in an invisible suit.
I need chemicals and beakers. That's what I need.
Must be see-through.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And pumping.
And unable to become visible again. Like, must always strive to regain skin.
He needs to invent his own rebigulator or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what makes him such a monstrous character, is the fact that he can never have that. And, like, that's what turns them crazy.
Mm-hmm. This movie, though, it isn't about him at all. This is Cecilia's movie. This is about being haunted by the Invisible Man.
Should have been called The Invisible Woman.
About being...
Well, Visible Woman.
I don't know if that works, but...
No.
the next one, if they do a sequel to it.
And if they were gonna, they'd probably do it already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, COVID happened, so, you know. How do you feel about the finale?
Where
we finally get to see her boyfriend.
I think it is a very strange ending. I do like how it's laid out. Like, she's coming in too soon.
Do you think they're married? You keep referring them as married, and I keep referring to a boyfriend, girlfriend. What do you think?
I think they're married.
I mean, the fact that she's in the will and gets so much money, like, leans towards that.
Could just as easily be a girlfriend, though. You're right.
Because her sister knows nothing about him.
Yeah.
And there isn't really any conversation of like, you know, I haven't talked to you in 2 years and that's weird.
I know. Her sister meets her at a predetermined
picks
location.
Her up at the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, at 4 in the morning. And she's like, what's going on? What's happening? She's
There's
like,
only one reason we were doing this.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I thought it'd be fun to meet up here on these back roads running away like a panicked person. What do you think is happening right now? Also, her sister's a lawyer. She should definitely like be smart enough to understand what's happening here. I'm looking up The Invisible Man right now because I want to know if the top of the IMDb I want to know if the top of the Wikipedia synopsis says, it just says abusive relationship. Fuck, it doesn't. It doesn't say husband or wife.
Either way, so she, a bunch happens. She's in the mental facility because she's been framed for her sister's murder, which is really cool. Happens in that restaurant.
Yep.
And then his brother, who's also his lawyer.
Yep.
Everybody's siblings are lawyers in this.
Yes.
Is like, the only way out of this is to go back to him and have his fucking baby or no money for you.
Uh-huh.
And also prison forever. And so she's like, I knew you were bad and in on it. 1-2, skip a few.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible man is in James's house and trying to kill James's daughter because I guess that's another thing that'll hurt Cecilia.
Yeah.
And she's racing there. James is racing there. James gets there first. And then he has a not so great scuffle in the hallway with the invisible man. And then Cecilia shoots him. And oh, my God, it's the brother.
Yep. That's the reveal. And then like the SWAT team shows up at Adrian's house, finds that he's been sort of cask of Amontillado'd into a wall somewhere. Like his brother has tied him up, hidden him in the basement kind of thing.
That's why he was working up the smell. To pull off the basement stink.
This is why he never showered?
Yeah.
I have to smell like I've been locked in this room for 2 months or whatever. Yeah, so the assumption here is that his brother at some point has just faked his brother's death and has been
terrorizing his girlfriend.
Being the puppet master of all his bullshit.
I mean, probably because they have him trying to get her to sign off on the will. So it's probably like he wanted all the money, so he terrorized her or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't even say any of that.
So she agrees to meet him for dinner, and we're like, why is she doing this?
Yeah, and we discover in the middle of the dinner that she's basically wearing a wire. Like, James, her cop friend.
Because they're going to get him to say, like, I was in the suit.
Yeah, I attempted to murdered a bunch of security guards, according to Kim, and attempted to murder a police officer in his home. And she is mostly there to determine whether or not he was in the suit the whole time. You know, if you want to be part of me and this baby's life, then we have to start at a place of honesty. And I need you to be honest with me, and I need you to tell me that you were responsible for all of this. And of course, he cannot say that. He will not say that.
But he does drop some clues, as in lines he like says to her while he's invisible throughout the movie.
Yeah, he sent her a fucking text message on his surprise burner phone in the attic. The text message was surprise. You know, in the middle of the facility, after just as she's passing out, he's like, surprise. And at the dinner, he's saying, like, you know, I've always had the best intentions. I've always, you know, everything I've always done has come from a place of love or whatever for you. And that should come as no surprise.
And he says it like a fucking creep.
Yeah, he says it like a creep. And so she...
He's talking like Ghostface, like the whole movie.
So she takes that as a clear indicator that he has been doing this the whole time. She goes off into the bathroom to like clean up or whatever. And he's alone in the dining room. He drops the facade. He's got his evil face on. And then suddenly it's like, just like the restaurant where she killed her sister, somebody has grabbed his hand.
He killed her sister.
Where he killed her sister. You know, it looks as though on the security camera that he has in the house that he slit his own throat. But because she's wearing a fucking wire, with a cop listening outside, we can hear the whole thing go down. He's clearly being murdered. You know, like, if she was in the bathroom cleaning herself up, we wouldn't hear in high fidelity a man getting his throat slit.
I don't know if we hear it.
He does hear it.
Does he hear it?
Yeah, because there's a cutaway shot of him in the car holding his headphones going like, wait, what the fuck?
It's after she screams coming back from the bathroom.
Nah, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Nah.
We're going to have to rewatch this movie again.
We're going to have to rewatch this entire movie so you learn that those security guards are all mostly alive and that he definitely heard that guy get his throat slit.
Fine. I'm ready. Let's go. Because I think she takes the wire off with the dress to get into the nudie invisible suit.
I mean, that is possible.
And then she goes,
wouldn't he hear her taking? I mean, I guess he would hear all of
this
no matter
what. The house is huge.
The point is,
he wouldn't hear shit.
She obviously put on the invisible suit, slit his throat, snuck back, got dressed, came out like, oh my God, what's happened? Calls 911. And then after, you know, having a cold stare with him as he bleeds out and dies on the floor, she leaves with an invisible suit in her bag.
Why does she take the suit with her? Like, as to hide evidence or because she's going to use it to be a vigilante in Invisible Woman.
I mean, that is obviously what the movie's implying, for sure. Mm-hmm. I do think there's probably evidence on that suit. But, I mean, the safest thing would be to just turn it invisible and chuck it in the fucking woods, right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody's going to find it. I don't know what the battery backup on that thing's like, but it's probably solar-powered, would be my guess.
I mean, that would be smart.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be fucking heavy.
Do you have to Windex it so that people can't see you?
I'm sure that if it got dirty, you would be visible, yeah.
Yeah, like fingerprints on it and stuff?
Also, I'm sure that must mean that the majority of it's glass.
It's definitely glass.
I love it throughout the movie that nobody hears the, like, squeak, 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 like the sound of cameras just, like, moving in and out. And anytime, like, from the middle of the movie onward, when she's like, I think he's in the room with us, even when she's being interrogated by the police at the psychiatric facility, and she says that, I can't talk right now, you can hear text sounds, like, like, he's totally there in the fucking room.
I want to see him, like, or at least the moment when he squeaks past them as the door is closing. Like, somebody touched me.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Like, because doors in there aren't opening and closing free
no.
and clear. Like, he can't open and close the door without anybody noticing. He has to sneak in while the door is open because of them.
So there's two things about that. He can be in two places at once because... His brother.
So you think the brother wasn't roped in last minute?
I don't know. I think we could make an argument that the brother has been in on this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a chance that the brother was in the suit the night that she escaped.
Oh.
And that's part of the reason why the camera goes down the hallway. Because this does seem to be a big, large plan of his. You know, he has been replacing her.
Well, he did know that she was on birth control, yeah. So he probably knew... About her escape plan.
I think so. I think that it has been a bit of a double team.
Because that's interesting.
Somebody's clearly feeding the dog. Like, when she goes back to the house, Zeus is still there. I'm sure the brother doesn't necessarily realize
there's so
everything.
Little information surrounding his first suicide.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you don't have to, like, be afraid to get the mail anymore. He's dead.
Yeah. Oh, here's a photo of him. You're like, and why would you show me that?
They put tarps all over stuff in his house. They didn't take the dog out, though.
Yeah,
they
dog's
left the
still
dog there.
Don't ask questions. This dog's getting fed.
Ghost
totally
is feeding
fine.
Him, I think.
Yeah, Ghost is feeding. Yeah, so I mean, like, it's hard to say where and when the brother gets roped into it, but that's how you can totally get away with being in two places at once. It's how you can arrive.
Just like Ghostface.
Just like Ghostface. It's how you can get to the house faster than the other character can drive there. It's not like a...
Yeah, because he was at the house in, like, the finale
record
so
time.
Quick.
Yeah, and it's because he wasn't driving from the psychiatric facility to the cop's house.
He was driving to his house to go
home.
Get... fake wrapped up or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a fun theory.
That angle. It's not, I don't think it's a theory. I think it's a fact. Like, I think that's just how the movie
it's
is.
It's a fun theory. It's not proved.
Okay, not proved. Unless, of course, we watch the director's commentary.
Mm.
Maybe they'll talk about how many people got killed or not.
And you're like, see, all the security guards here, killed.
If that is in the director's commentary, I'll come back and re-record an outro and I'll apologize for everything that I've said. But I highly doubt that's in there. Yeah, The Invisible Man, one of my favorite villains of all time.
Period.
This is definitely a different interpretation of the story. It resonated with a lot of people. I think it is a smart...
Yeah, people really liked it when it came out.
Absolutely.
Maybe it was because partly they knew it was the last movie they were going to see for a really long time.
There's always that. Yeah, if it wasn't The Invisible Man, it was The Hunt. That other, like, them versus us.
It was like, will they or won't they release it?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That was a wild ride. But yeah, definitely going back to what you're saying, absolutely a time capsule movie. Whether it's specifically for where horror was, you know, in the 2020s, or just where movies are right now and how we look at villains. One thing that is interesting about this villain that we don't really talk about, that we complain about a lot on the podcast, is that he is kind of just purely evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have a sympathetic moment where we learn that, like, oh, he's like this because he had such a bad childhood, and, like, we should really just feel bad for him because, you know, if you knew his story, if you lived his life, you might
like,
be
like... No, he's rich and smart and mean!
He's just rich and smart and mean.
Fuck him!
He'll kill his own fucking brother for no reason other than to just make her life living. Hell. So I appreciate that. That's always nice.
And here I am like, I wanted an arc for the man.
Yeah. I mean, of the two Lee Whannell Universal Monster movies, I'd say I like this one a little bit more than the Wolfman for sure.
I'll agree.
What do you think would be the next one that he'd do if he was doing another one? Because we've already got a Frankenstein movie. Like, there's no sense in doing another Frankenstein.
Yeah, but we have another Frankenstein coming out for Maggie Gyllenhaal. We don't need to not do Frankenstein just because Frankenstein's happened.
Why not do another Frankenstein? And we got a mummy movie coming, so that's done.
Maybe a Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, that would be a good one. That would be a really good follow-up. I mean, arguably, you could do another Phantom of the Opera, depending on who you ask.
I could go for some Phantom.
Both of those villains, Jekyll and Hyde, Phantom of the Opera, are sometimes included in the Universal Monsters list. That's a really good pick. I would actually really like to see a Lee Winnell Jekyll and Hyde movie. That'd be pretty rad.
Because they are working on a mummy, too. We're getting a mummy soon.
Yeah, it's done.
And we're also getting a sequel to the 1999 mummy with Brendan Fraser and crew.
Oh, yeah. That's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Monsters, man. They never go away, and hopefully they never
I'm glad they're back.
Yeah.
I missed them.
You know, we're probably going to see a fuck ton of them now that they've got that Universal Studios park, right?
That's really
what's driving all of this. God, I can't wait.
I'll see 100 more Frankenstein movies. I don't care. Everybody gets to do one.
Yeah, let's have 99 more Invisible Man movies.
I'll watch more Hollow Mans.
Anyway, that's...
Surely one of them will be a ghost.
Surely. We're obsessed with Universal Monsters. We're just obsessed with monsters in general. And those are our thoughts on Lee Winnell's Invisible Man. It totally fits the secret theme for the podcast, I promise. We'll get into it a little more in about 10 more episodes. But if you can, if you've already got an inkling of how this fits into the tapestry of this season, submit your guess. Click on the link in the episode description. Win yourself a cool Nightmare on Film Street prize pack.
Like a t-shirt or our book. And if you want even more Nightmare on Film Street, we release bonus episodes and have a monthly watch party with our entire Fiend Club over on Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. Sign up and pick a cool member level and you'll get all kinds of bonus stuff. Some tiers have merch, some have the bonus episodes, some have the watch parties, and it's just a fun time over there. You get fun access to the Discord and there's chats, there's all kinds of stuff. That is nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. We're so bad at commercials. For our own stuff.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back again with another hint of the secret theme. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.